Greetings. Welcome to the Whole Truth Broadcast with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Apostle Anthony J. Patterson is the General Overseer. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org or dial 610-583-2400 or write to P.O. Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023 in the United States of America.
Children of Israel were having troubles. They didn't have a book to go to and get encouraged, as you do. I think the worst thing happened to man, some people think is the best thing, was the printing press. Because what the printing press did, it made you think you could read it and understand it yourself. When it was given to the man of God to give to you, people go home and say, well, I read such and such a thing. I know what it means. And now you got something on your hands. When the Lord is talking to the priest, now the people got it. And they know more than the priest. And the scripture says the priest lifts that keep knowledge, not the congregation. Amen. Congregation always got us in trouble. Amen. When they ask the congregation, what you going to do with Jesus?
Come on, man.
They say, crucify him.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Where's the woman that was at the well? Where are you?
Yeah.
Can you save him? Where's the 5,000 that ate? Where's the 4,000 that ate? None of y'all? Everybody that was healed, can y'all stand for Jesus?
Come on.
Hear me?
Yes.
They all with one voice said,
crucify.
Crucify. Say, well, what should I give you in exchange? Give us a murderer and a thief.
Yeah.
This message is not difficult.
No.
The book is your history.
Yeah.
The heart you have right now is what God is using.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
He's speaking now to you on your heart.
Amen.
He saved me in 88. I can remember that year until I died.
Amen.
I might not remember the name, but I say it was a gray-haired old man that danced and blessed the Lord at that moment. Because he did what David said.
Glory.
But the Lord wrote this like you all look and say, oh, look at this woman with the issue of blood. Y'all look at her. And you don't even think about what he did for you.
Yeah.
You ignore what he's done for you.
Come on.
And he's moving today.
Yes, Lord.
Right now.
Yes, right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Glory be to God.
Right now.
Right now. Right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you're so enamored with what is written in the book when your heart is where he's writing today. He put on a body so he could come and do this to get in you. You know, the angels, when they conversed about it, they said, why are you so mindful of them? What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go down and get in them. Are you crazy? You going to go in sinful flesh? He said, I'm going down because I'm going to make a way of escape for everybody who wanted it. Because the devil messed it up in the garden. And because the devil messed it up, God himself had to come and fix it. So he said he now fixed the enmity. We were enemies of God. He fixed it so he could put us back in his paradise and now touch the tree of life. The reason he put them out of the garden was they could not touch the tree of life in the state that they were in. Y'all know how we are when we sin. We hide. We don't go to church. Y'all think the minister eyes is going to get you. You forgetting all them eyes. But y'all start hiding from saints. It's a good thing you do. Because some saints can discern. I know what you was doing. And you say, pray for me. Ha. But when you reconcile with God before you close your eyes, that's why he said this is the reconciliation gospel. Amen. This gospel tells you the world goes from day to night as a day. That's not God. Amen. God is evening and morning is a day. Amen. So at evening, when the night is appearing, you reconcile and say, Lord, forgive me if I've done anything. What happens? You just made the day perfect. If you close your eyes and wake in the morning, and the morning is when the Lord has appeared, what has happened? You're ready to meet him. But you have to reconcile your life. You can't try to hide and then justify your wrong. Because when the book is open, and another book is open, and all those books got don't do and you did, and you didn't forgive or ask for forgiveness, and it's still on the record, your record comes off God's shelf, out of his mind, and you stand before him and say, Lord, and your record comes. And you never say forgive. All the Lord asks you to do to clean it is ask to forgive. The message is simple. Let's put God first.
Amen.
Put you next to him. And everything that pertaineth to you, bring it with you.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that pertaineth to you.
Thank you, Lord.
My family.
Hallelujah.
My church family. We're all together. Bring them with you. The harlot Rahab. We got so many harlots going on in the scriptures. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. The harlot this and the harlot that. The harlot wiping his feet and crying all over him. And people talking and say, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. But what Jesus care about that? What you care about? The asking to forgive. Wash you.
Yes, Lord.
Though your sins be red.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He said, I'll make them white. When the Lord takes something from you, he replaces it with something. He will never leave you empty. Whatever you give him, he's going to give you back something better. If you're heaviness, God's going to redress you. You saw it today. Heaviness last night. The garment of praise today.
Yeah.
There was an exchange that happened. We saw it with our own eyes. Now I know I put that feather in. I wanted to show it to you. It's gone. He can't find it. I got a picture of it. I told the Lord, you might can make it. But I got a picture. I had it now. Unless you're going to poof my picture too. And he can.
Yes.
I know the angel of the Lord visited. He left. People might think, this church ain't hocus pocus. That feather appeared on my computer. I looked at it. I took a picture of it. I sent it to some saints.
Yes.
I said, look what just appeared. And I put it in my book to bring it to you, just to let you touch it. And he said he came fine.
My Lord.
Do you believe me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes.
The word of the Lord is true.
Yes, it is.
Everything you heard in the book is true.
Yes.
Amen.
What's going on with you right now is true.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
When tomorrow comes, it's going to be true too.
Oh, yeah. Because
you're going to see it. And he told you greater things you were going to do.
Yes, sir.
What great things you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to give God today that he replaced it with something? Mm-hmm. What are you willing to give up? I know you ain't going to give up nothing good.
Come on, man.
You wouldn't be a human.
Come on, man.
But you got some bad stuff.
Yes.
Are you willing to exchange it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll take it.
Yes, he will.
I try to tell people, this is an interactive church. This is not the Presbyterian church.
Come on.
How do you think all this stuff was written? Someone was talking to Christ, and it got recorded.
Amen.
What are you talking about? What is going to be recorded? That you said.
Yes, Lord.
That God said back to you.
Yes, Lord.
You going to be quiet? Jesus just walked by. You said,
Yeah, no, Lord. Thank you.
That was a nice outfit. Somebody say, that was Jesus. He said, who is he? Bread was forming in his hand as he broke it and gave, and it kept growing. And the people kept eating. And none of them saw the miracle of how the bread fed 5,000. In one sitting, another sitting 4,000. The bread just kept growing. And when he finished, he took up baskets of it left. Just in case you wanted to eat.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And you don't see the miracle of how his flesh is still fresh today. His blood is still warm today. Today there has to be an exchange.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If there's something in your life that you want to change, today is the day to give it to God and let him give you something for your ashes. I'm weary. It is now time for him to give me an eagle. It is time for me to fly. When you talk about being in the valley in the shadows of death, I tell you there cannot be shadows if there is no light there. If it's pitch black dark, there's no light. But if there's shadows, that means God is somewhere. And if he is in there somewhere, he said he's the lily of the valley. So if you find yourself in a valley, just start picking. Just pick them. Walk around. Just say, Lord, I know thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff. You're going to comfort. But you got to comfort. I got to give you this heaviness. I want you to comfort. How can I enter into your kingdom if you don't give me of yourself? I won't know whither to go. What are you willing to exchange? The world hates you. God loves you. God and you should hate the world. But when it comes time and God says, come up hither, he's going to give you immortality for mortality.
Thank you, Lord.
For your carnal, he's going to change you as fast as your eyes can bat. And what is he going to give you? A whole new body.
Thank you, Lord.
When Job asked, how is it? And the question is in the scriptures, how is it that bone comes out of the womb of a woman? Bones are eternal. They don't go nowhere. They'll lay in a grave for a billion years. You dig them up and there they are. Remember Ezekiel? He saw the valley of bones that were dry. They were somewhere waiting. Saying, God, how long? In those bones, there was something that was prophesied to them. Those bones heard. They might not have had the book, but they had a preacher that said, you're going to live again. And those bones believed it, and they are laying there dry. And the Lord told the man of God, speak to them.
Prophesy to them.
And the elder said today there's going to be some quaking. And these bones start shaking. And they come together and God takes sinew, muscle, put on them. He then put flesh over it. Then he takes and puts skin over it. And it's standing there waiting for one more thing. The same thing that you waited for when you were a child being born and you came. You waited to become a living soul. What did you wait for? Oh, the church is here.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you took in that breath, you became. His last breath is going to be an eternal one that you're going to come off there. You're going to then ascend as God descends. And you're going to meet him in the midair.
Thank you, Lord.
What are you willing
glory.
To exchange? To give God now, could you give him this life in exchange for? Are you willing to suffer here so you can reign with him? Or do you want all of your pleasures now and you don't care about what's next? The son that you all call prodigal cared. When he asked his father for all of his good, his father gave it to him. He gave him the spirit. He gave you the Holy Ghost. He gave you his breath. What are you going to do with it? Before he would eat the husk, before he ate it, he had a change of mind. He said, in my father's house, I am not even worthy to be called his son, but I remember what daddy got. And he went home. And don't you know, as soon as the heart turned, the father started coming to his son. The father knew the moment his son's heart changed. And he went old man running. You saw it today. 1988. He couldn't do it. His wife had to do it. But he doesn't know the scripture says that she sanctified him when he was acting a fool.
Amen.
Paul said, who knows, wife, whether or not God will save your husband? You knew because you requested God to do it. So God removed a fool and gave you a righteous man. You prayed and asked God for it. But people have to understand, if one is righteous and one is not, the one that is righteous sanctifies the one that is not. Why? The twain is one. She, they're bone of bone and flesh of flesh. That's how God is with the church. So what are you willing to exchange? If you want the goodness of God, you've got to exchange something for it. You've got to want God to do it. So the Spirit of the Lord has come to me. Sit and read so they can hear you. He's been reading for me since he was 3 or 4. And been reading it. He read better then. Because at 3 or 4 he just read the words. Now I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's trying to preach. But he's been reading from a kid. And when I saw it, I said, boy, that's a good reader. Words I can't say. He's going right along like it is an and. He'll break them down right in his head and keep on going. But in here, I preached a message some years ago. We call this the Kellen. His name is Kellen. We call it the Kellen Doctrine. The Kellen Doctrine is, if I was you, I would do what the Lord said.
Amen.
Oh, he was about 4 or 5. I preached a message about the man of God. The Lord said, do not eat. Do not go back the way you came. The Lord gave him his instructions. But this man said, I'm a prophet like you, and the Lord told me to tell you to come. And the man disobeyed God and obeyed this man who said he was a prophet. And when he ate with him, and on his way back, the lions got him. Left him in the middle of the street. And I went to visit him after I preached that message. And I was in a little rocking chair, and I had rocked myself to sleep. And the next thing I knew, this little kid was poking me in the chest. He just looked at me. He said, if I was you, I would do what the Lord said. And he got on up and went and played with his training or whatever. And I went, all right, Lord, out of the mouth of, well, see, y'all know what's written. Y'all might not carry the book, but you know, you know the book. I hear it. The Spirit of the Lord is.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Lord is upon me.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings.
You have to understand these words. Before they were on a page of a book, a man was telling somebody, the Lord told me. And people look at it, oh, that's a crazy fool.
No.
Now you see it written. It's happening to you today.
Yeah.
I didn't get here by circumstance.
Amen.
I left $11 to $13 million in a bank, walked away from it, gave it to the city of Jacksonville when the Lord called me to this.
Come on.
I went from being a millionaire to a pauper.
Amen.
And people say, oh, his suits are $5,000, $8,000, whatever. No, they're cheap. I just make it look good. Because I'm dressed with the beauty of God.
Yes,
he would. Won't he do it?
Yes, he'll do it.
I got somebody go talk to me. I like him.
Come on.
Can you travel with me? I have my amen corner with me. Can he go with me for a season, please?
Thank you.
Why are you worried about how much a suit costs?
Amen.
You need to exchange that.
Yes.
And get something from heaven. Yes. That you don't worry about a costly suit. If it's $5, why would you worry about how much a suit costs?
Right.
What are my words saying? Hmm? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
I was anointed to do this.
Amen.
One day, February 22nd of 1994, I was anointing my head to fast. And the Lord came. Flooded my soul. Changed my insides, my outside. Everything was changed. My whole sense of who I was gone.
Amen.
And I didn't know what to do. It was such a new experience, but I had something now in my heart and mind that wasn't there before in that prevalent way, that I could hear it. I could understand it. And when he told me what to do, there was a sister that had been tarrying for over 25 years for the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Amen.
And he said, you're going to lay hands on her, and it's going to be just like in the days of old. I'm going to prove your apostleship by how it's proved it. The seal of your apostleship is the ones you're going to put in God. And when I laid my hands on her head, she laid back and
began
when they brought a sister to me that was brittle. Cancer had metastasized in her body.
Amen.
Her breast was gone.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
And she said, oh, thou man of God. I said, you keep going to the mirror. And you watch.
Yes, Lord.
I said, watching her soul for what God was going to do. He was going to, I said, he's going to bring your breast.
Amen.
Thank you.
One day a saint got a call.
Come on now.
Come here and see what the Lord had done for me. The physicians that she had sat next to me on a plane. And this man just said, he said, are you a preacher? I don't have a preacher wrote, written across my forehead. I said, yeah. I guess. He said, what's your name? And I said, Patterson. He said, Bishop Anthony Patterson? I said, yes. He said, I am Dr. So-and-so. My patient is a member of your church. He said, now I got her documents that she had cancer that metastasized in her body. And I told her, only thing she had but left was hospice. If they moved it, he said, you'll break her bones. It was so good.
Amen.
He said, but now, when the news people found out about it, the Olympic people called for her to say, can you carry the torch of the Olympic Games through your city, Jacksonville? And she said, Bishop, will you carry it? Nope. You carry it.
Come on.
And when she walked down Main Street,
thank you, Jesus. Look at
me. When I tell you, I look at God.
Yes.
I was in India.
Yes, Lord.
A little boy had died. He had drowned earlier that day.
Yes, Lord.
And my guide was taking me, and it's a mud hut. And I went in, and everybody was mourning the child, and the child was laid out. And I don't go at dead bodies.
Amen.
We don't believe in funerals.
Amen.
I don't go at them. I'm sanctified.
Yes. Amen.
So I don't go at them. But when I walked in, I said, I don't know what you're doing, but this ain't what we're supposed to be doing. But I walked over to the child, and I touched the child on the cheek.
Lord.
What do you think happened? The child opened his eyes.
Amen.
Can you imagine what happened in that little mud hut at that moment? They start proclaiming it in the city. Everybody start coming in this little tiny hut trying to touch me, and I'm saying, it is not me. It's him. And a cousin of this child flew over to the United States years later.
Amen.
And a brother that had gone out of the church, he came back. He was at one of these convenience stores, and this guy from India was in there, and he said, hi, brother. And the brother said, how are you? He said, where are you coming from? He said, I just went to church.
Amen.
He said, oh, you went to church? He said, who's your pastor? And the brother said, Bishop Patterson. The man said, Anthony Patterson? The brother said, yeah. He said, not Bishop, Apostle Patterson.
Amen.
He raised my cousin from the dead in India.
Yes.
The brother came to church that night. He said, why y'all didn't tell me? They said, you should have been here. But from the news article and hear the Lord bring his testimony all the way across the pond to give it to someone like I'm giving it to you, like Paul did everywhere he went.
Amen.
I didn't get here by circumstance.
Amen.
What is in me is not by it's not by the purpose of the world, but it's the purpose of God to save souls. My sister sitting there in the green had multiple myeloma.
Amen.
Due to die.
Come on.
Her physician said, you are a miracle.
Amen.
When they would go in to get her bone, they said, and they kept trying to get a piece of them. They're supposed to be brittle.
Yes, Lord.
He said, these are not the bones of a multiple myeloma patient.
Amen.
Tuesday will be a year.
Yo.
When they use her as a guinea pig, they want to know what's up with her.
Come on.
Amen.
But she was by God designed. And they took her T cells to see what it is. What it is, they supersized. And they put them back in her. And they can't even find multiple myeloma. What she's doing is helping somebody else now. But she can't give them Jesus. But what she can give them, I give you my testimony that I depended on God. That when I was going out and I was losing consciousness, all I knew is to say was, that's the only name that was going to give me power when I'm powerless. Jesus. And when I tell you what the Lord has done, not just for me, but he's done it for you. But I'm to preach to you that if you give God something, he's going to give you something in return. You give him your sickness. Give God multiple myeloma. What do you think he can do with it?
Amen.
What do you think God can do with cancer? What do you think he can do with it? Nothing? You think he's powerless to it? Not the God I serve. If he can wake up a young child out of death. You know the naysayers say, oh, how you know he was dead? Well, you should have went to the funeral. See for yourself. I'm here to preach. This is the acceptable moment of the Lord. What are you willing to exchange? What do you want out of your life? Because see, there are people who've been traveling with God a long time, and they exchange and get all the goodness out and put the world in. Then they stop coming to Zion. They stop singing the songs of Zion, and they pick up the songs of the world and replace God. Everything of the world now is in them, and they know nothing about Jesus. But it should be just the opposite. The world should be coming out, and Christ should be coming in. Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
I am to preach great tidings to you. I'm not to come in to condemn you.
No.
I come to give you some edification.
Amen.
I want to preach something wonderful that you'll say, oh, I can go after that.
Yes.
But if I come in and condemn you, you're on your way to hell. Well, everybody's going to hell. Hell is just a grave. How are you going to get out? How are you going to get out? Don't stay there past the first resurrection now.
Get out.
You got to get out when everything is holy is coming up.
Yes.
I got a key that death can't hold.
Amen.
And when your angels see, there's millions of them all around you, and they got you until God comes. When you go to the box, they sit right there. All of them sit right away where you bear. Sit right there. Just like they set a watch for Jesus. Do you all read? They thought it was a gardener. Say, who is he? Say, who are you looking for? His watch is over. Why are you looking for the living? Come on, y'all know something. Go talk to me. Talk to me. Don't send me out of Spotsylvania and you ain't talk to me. I can't hear your spirit. You're going to put one over your grave. And when he says time to wait, they're going to say, wait.
Ha! Glory.
You think the dirt going to hold you?
No.
You think that little cheap casket or expensive casket or whatever it is? I got a pine box. I thought pine box would be the cheapest thing to get buried in. It's the most expensive now. A $25,000 pine box. I went looking for, I said, all I want is a pine wooden box. The man said, this is it. I said, look at the price tag of that thing. I ain't going in the ground in something like that. I want just a plain Dracula pine box. It can be shaped like him. The man said, sir, you want wood. It's the most expensive ones now. So I need to get in my garage, lay down and measure myself and start building it myself. $25,000 for a wooden box. Don't y'all put me in nothing expensive. Just dig a hole. And when somebody dig me up and somebody dead go on top of me, I guarantee they'll wake up. They'll touch my bones and I guarantee they'll wake up. Say, you can bring your dead child. Say, bury the man of God in his graveyard somewhere. Start digging. And you say, there he is. Throw your dead child on him. Yes. Come on.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
If your heart is broken, I come to do a work. I come to fix it. I'm not going to send you out of here like you came. If you came in here brokenhearted, and thinking you have no friend at all, I'm going to send you home with Jesus.
Yes.
You're going to get in the car. Don't put him in the passenger seat. Say, sit here with me, Jesus.
That's right.
Make me get home safe.
Amen.
Say, you can drive if you want.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
To proclaim proclaim liberty to the captives.
If you're a captive, I'm going to exchange that and set you free.
Set you free.
Thank the Lord.
If something has you bound in this world and you think you cannot get out of it, I'm here to set you free from it. Because it won't hold you fast. You got to understand, this is sin, the flesh. This is what you bury in water. This. And when you wash that sin away, something now comes in to make you new.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen. You don't think you're going to live a holy and righteous life every moment.
Amen.
You're going to have some challenges.
Amen.
Yes. You're going to have some moments when you take your husband by the head and knock him out. You can say, nah, like, I don't told you.
Amen.
Haven't I told you such and such? But you know, brothers, we are kind of hard-headed.
Oh, yeah.
We're hard-headed.
Yeah.
And she's saying, Jesus. And he come in and change and say, okay, sweetheart, you're going to try again. But you know you have your challenging moments. But these are the times when you call on the name of the Lord, he takes that mind and move it.
Amen.
And he says things that are captive, set them free. Yes, there's an exchange.
Amen.
To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
If you are bound and imprisoned by anything, from whatever it is. People are bound in drugs and other things. The church is a hospital.
Yes, it is.
Come on, get your IV. We're going to push Jesus in it.
Yes.
And I'm just a nurse. I go talk to the doctor. Say, Dr. Jesus, what you going to do with this patient? What seemed to be their issue? Oh, thou man of God. They got many. They got legions. I can't figure out, is it the heart that's the problem? The mind that's the problem? Say, what's the patient name? Said it appears to be Edwina Amos. We can't figure out what's wrong with her. Every time she come in, there's something different. We see her every week. Say, what you gonna do? Say, can we assign a miracle? Oh, give me the prescription pad. Miracle, sign of Jesus.
Thank you.
Fix everything. Everything.
Amen.
But that's coming from the physician.
Yeah.
The one you all know can fix every problem.
Amen.
Yes, come on.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
This is now the acceptable year, the acceptable moment of the Lord. What are you going to walk away believing? What are you going to walk away from here believing and receiving from God? These words are nothing on the page if you're not going to put them on your heart. Your heart is nothing without God writing on it.
Yeah.
He died to write on it.
Amen.
You can read this and put it in your mind. What's on your heart?
Mom.
Out of the abundance of the heart.
Amen.
Come on.
And the day of vengeance of our Lord to comfort all that mourn.
If you're mourning, you're sad, the Lord is getting ready to avenge.
Because
I told him I was weary.
Amen.
I am so weary.
Yeah.
And he's getting me prepared.
Thank the Lord.
And I'm going
to
be prepared.
Yeah.
Thank
yes.
the Lord.
Yes.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
If you're in Zion, in Christ, yes.
To give unto them beauty for ashes.
Mm. Wait a minute, y'all. Don't go fast now. Slow up just.
Oh.
You got some ashes?
Yeah.
This ain't that foolishness about some ash winds that you're going to throw on your forehead. We're past that. We're in Christ now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But if you have had an issue like Job did, and he'd sat down in sackcloth and ashes, there has to be an exchange for something that has happened to you, even if it was by circumstance. You say, Lord, when I was abound, I praised you. And now that I'm abased, I'm going to praise you ever. But you've got to restore to me. You must restore to me even more than you took away from me. You got to talk to God. You don't sit and just take it and say, oh, it's all right. No, it's not. You serve the God of heaven that has everything. And if he say the earth is his and the fullness thereof, then there's a portion you can give to me that I'll worship you with it. So, for ashes, what will God give you in exchange? It's an exchange. What do you give me? The ashes. God will give you beauty.
to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning.
If you're mourning, if you're mourning, if you're sad that your brother was destroyed before time, he got delivered from COVID, go home, and his own son shoot him and kill him. And you are not left here to mourn. The Lord said, I'll take your mourning away and give you the oil of gladness. What do you want? What do you want to be glad? You got to be glad that that was the design of God, that was the will of God concerning him, and thank God for what he did, that he's going to save you. This is selfish sometimes. Yes. For your mourning, your sorrows, God will give you the oil of gladness. And when that oil runs down on you, you will be glad to hear the birds. You'll be glad to see the wind moving trees. You just will be glad, glad. You get the glad, glads. Yes, come on.
The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Now, the spirit. We saw it last night, didn't we? We witnessed it. Some people timed it. They said it was over 30 minutes. They said it was longer than you. But it was a spirit of this heaviness. What did God give it today?
I'm praying. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Did you time that?
No.
Did you witness that?
Amen.
So there was a purpose for last night when God moved and changed it and put on a garment of praise. Say, I got my dad.
Thank you.
It's time for my feet to move. It's time for my hands to make a noise. It's time for my spirit. Overnight? But for what she gave God last night, because she said, I came looking for something.
Thank you.
And when I woke this morning, the Lord showed me holding her in my arms, and I didn't know when that was going to ever happen. And she testified, she didn't tell you that was me. But she was going across the parking lot. I was in her door. I opened the car door and got out, and she came into my arms.
Thank the Lord.
And I told her then, don't ever count God foolish.
Amen.
Whatever the will of the Lord is, you must say amen.
Amen.
But I tell you, if you're a woman, God will give you your dead
back.
We've never had it recorded where a man was able to get his dead back. Only women. And when you read in Hebrews, he said women receive their dead back to life again. It's a relationship you all have with God. I'm going to figure it out. I might not be able to have it, but I'm going to figure it out. And this is why he said you must have power on your head because of the angels. I haven't figured that out yet either, but I'm going to figure it out. It's something between you and God that when you pray, you must be covered because God says because of the power that's with you, he wants you covered.
Yes.
Now you figure it. Let's exchange some things. Yes.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Now the garment of praise, I come to praise God because that spirit of heaviness that had me just a few hours ago, when I couldn't even rest in the night, the Lord has dressed me. And I feel like praising the Lord. I just feel praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have to praise him now because I've noticed that he has done something for me. The one that spoke a world into being came down to little old me, heard my cry, and answered. He answered. The most powerful spirit that ever known did something for you.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness.
Now, I got another name. I'm a tree called righteous. So that means when my roots get deep, hallelujah, you set me by the riverbank, and out of me the branches will come out and my leaves will be green, and all of a sudden fruit of the Spirit will come out of me. And when the Lord comes looking for something savory to eat, say, Lord, here am I. Taste and see. Now you'll be called the tree of righteousness.
That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Thank you. Now, God is glorified. Glorification comes from troubles. It comes from temptation. It comes from trials. It comes from sorrow. It comes from mourning. It comes from everything that is worldly, that God glorifies himself in it, and he changes it, and he makes it shine bright like the day.
Glorified.
That's going to be you. You're going to shine forth like the light. And when the Lord descends on his white horse, grab your horse, because you're going to be right behind him. John saw you, so don't tell me it's not going to happen. I believe everything written in the word of God. And John saw the host of heaven and the people coming behind God and their white horses. What you going to ride? Then somewhere I said that the cloud was going to be your chariot. Yeah. So grab your cloud. I'm going to grab mine. And I'll be riding around with you. Those words are not written just for hurt. Just they're written for hearts to find the book. Open up the book and receive the things of the book. So if God can get to your heart, what do you think God can write and say to you? You say, Lord, forgive. He said, I've already done it. Come with me. You got two thieves. One had good sense and one was crazy. The one said, Lord, forgive. He's showing you something. Just that asking. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. What about the other crazy clown? Seems like he got enough time to say, Lord, forgive. Before they break your legs, man, you don't want to say, Lord. But he looked and Jesus was like, he had to die first. Why? They could not break his legs. It was written, not a bone will be broken. So when they came, the thieves were still suffering. So that's when they break their legs to make them go ahead and die. When they got to Jesus and they looked, he had already given up the ghost. But he gave the other one time to say forgive. The other one had already. The testator was now dead. He had that man with him. Amen. What about the other one? Don't be in that state. Amen. Follow the one that says, forgive me. Amen. And the Lord said, paradise, come. Amen. Simple message. A lot of illustrations. Amen. And if you just take this book and put every story you read on top of each other, they're really all the same. Mm-hmm. Just different actors. All the same. Faith in God, what do you tell you? You walk up to a bush that's burning and it's not consumed. I'm going to see what you're going to do. You walk in Walmart. That didn't go over well. Sorry. Tajay. And you get out of your car and you park by a tree and it's on fire. I'll wait for you. I know you would. I'm waiting on you. I'll back my car out of there so fast because you think that thing will burn you up. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to burn up in you everything that's not like the Lord. So he was getting Moses ready. I'm going to burn up everything, but I'm going to keep the vessel because I need it. When Jesus do things for you, don't run. My dad told us this story. They went to a funeral before he got in church. And this lady couldn't stand her husband. They fought all the time, but he died.
Oh my.
Yeah, I know. And then she buried him. And at the funeral, they had all the gravel around the grave. And all the people were mourning. She was screaming and hollering. Now, she hated it. Take me with you. I want to go with you. So somebody behind her knew how she felt, really felt about it. So they just reached behind and pushed her in there. He told a story like the gravel got on her feet and she fell in the, on top of that casket. What do you think she said? Get me out of
here.
No, 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 you want to go with him. That went over well. If you love Jesus, go with him.
Amen.
Love each other. Show me you love Christ by what you do one to each other.
Amen.
Love is not a feeling. Not a feel. That's mushy mess. Love is an act. It's what you do. My father showed me. He might not have said, I love you. He showed me he did. I ate well. With 13 kids, I ate well. My mother had a china cabinet full of nice things. And they were always so pretty, and we never used them.
Really?
So, no. So you know what I did, Mother? I would go in there. When she fixed food, I'd go in her best cabinet, get her best china, get her best silverware, and I'd come and I'd put my plate. She said, boy, if you don't put my stuff back, what you think it's in there for?
Yeah.
I always did that.
Yes.
She had, it's 13 of us. I don't know what she had the other 12 for.
Oh.
There's the baby there. I don't know what... She didn't have to come. There's the oldest one there. What we need her for? Get rid of her, him, and all the other two in front of me, and that's all they needed. I don't know how you do that, but that's how I think. I ate the best on the best china. She said, boy, you break. I ain't gonna break it. I want to eat off of it.
That's right. Yeah.
And the man of God told her, and he wasn't in our house. He preached my life one time in a message to 5,000 people. He said, now that child of yours think he's the only one. He will go in and get your best things to eat off of. And I'm going like, where he been? Where was he? Somebody was filming. This was one of those movies, you know, everybody in the house is on film. But he knew. I was in his house one day and he walked in the kitchen and he said, your sister, you know, my older sister, he said, she want to come back to the church. I looked at him, said, what? He said, yeah, you know, she want to come back to the church.
Why not?
So he left and went back to his room, and I picked up the phone, and I called home. I said, where is Angela? And somebody said, she's at dad's house. I said, what happened? Her husband had did something, and she began to pray. And when she began to pray, he got it. And from that moment until now,
amen,
that's been 30 years.
Amen.
She's been back.
Amen.
But I couldn't get over the moment that he's in Philadelphia and she's in Florida, and he's getting that moment at the self same hour that she made a request in prayer.
Amen.
What do you think that proved to me?
God.
What do you think I was walking with? And what do you think you were walking with when you got somebody next to you that is full of the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
Full of Christ. Won't tell you nothing wrong. They'll comfort you when you need them. They'll be there for you when your best friend won't. What do y'all think is walking with us? What are we doing all this for? Come on, we got to get a change of mind to understand we're walking with the God of heaven.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't leave here thinking he ain't gonna walk with you. Don't leave here thinking he's not gonna answer you. Because he
will.
And I ask you, will you exchange your carnal for his spiritual? And Paul said, where then is the blessedness that you speak? He said, because what I have, he said, you will pluck out your eye and give it to me.
Amen.
To Can you imagine a man of God writing such? Think about that impotent man asking at the gate, beautiful. He says, such as I have. What in the name of that such? Such? I ain't got no money, no silver, no gold. I got something better.
Yeah.
If you want to walk. You think God is not embodied in some man that's willing to give up his life to save people? You think that's gone? That was just a scripture time that don't exist anymore? Okay.
No.
All right. I agree with you. And I'm one, I know, because my work speak for me.
Amen.
Otherwise, I would have never came to Spotsylvania to take the minister with me. Because an elder, I met an elder, and I said, Elder, I'm going to London. He said, oh, if I could get in your suitcase. I bought him a ticket. His suitcase.
Amen.
Come on, go with me. And he went, and I was in first class, and we were coming back separately. And the lady said, well, you're in first class. He's not. I said, and she said, well, we're going to put him in first class. I said, oh, excuse me. He got a better seat than me. So when I walked over to my plane,
come on there.
Exactly. I'm praying, say, if you could do that for him. And the lady saw me, and there was one seat left, and only 8 people sit in this part of the plane. It's called flagship.
Yeah.
I got to testify. I feel so good just to say it. They said, Mr. Patterson, because they said, Bishop Patterson, would you like to be upgraded to flagship? I didn't know what flagship was. I said, sure. I was coming down the aisle. The lady said, Bishop Patterson, here are your pajamas. Pajamas. Honey, they take your clothes, hang them up, and give them back to you. They ain't wrinkled. You. That's what I'm talking about. You get your own little menu. I mean, you're talking about, you turn around, you got a desk, you got a bed. But I tell you, it's flagship service. A limousine come wherever you are, get you and bring you to the plane. You don't go through TSA. I didn't go through TSA. They said, come with us.
Amen.
We go to a private dining room. Chef comes out. What would you like? What would I like? What you got? Whatever you want. That's flagship service. And that's how God treats his saints.
Amen.
You have flagship service from heaven. Anything you ask of God, he said, you believe it, I will do it.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Truth Gospel broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Visit our website at www.theapostolicfaith.org. Dial 610-583-2400 or write to us at P.O. Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023 in the United States of America.
Gracias por escuchar al programa Toda Verdad, Iglesia del Señor Jesucristo de la Fe Apostólica. Ven con nosotros porque te haremos bien. Nos pueden visitar en la página web www.theapostolicfaith.org.
Merci d'avoir écouté la mission de radio de l'Église du Seigneur Jésus-Christ de la Foi Apostolique. Venez avec nous. Nous vous ferons du bien. Pour plus d'informations, visitez le site www.lafoiapostolique.org.
Děkuji za poslouchání našeho rádia Pravdě Pana Ježíše Krista o apoštolské víře. Více informací naleznete na adrese theapostolicfaith.org.
If you are listening to this broadcast during the day, then have a good day. If you are listening to this broadcast during the evening hours, have a good night.